Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on South of 12th Hour in Evansville, Texas. Today is August 25, 2016, or it is evening 23, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is the name of our subject today. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children. Okay, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now, we have that word knowledge. We have that word knowledge. It occurs 172 times in the KJV and 169 verses altogether. And it says that here in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. because they rejected knowledge. He said, I'm going to reject them. Now, if you go to Isaiah 5:13, let's go and read it. If we can get to it real quickly. It says that, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. So that would be the occasion with us today. And without knowledge, we're going to go into captivity. Okay, so it says in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Isaiah 5:15, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Yahshua of the host shall be exalted in judgment, and Yahweh that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. That's very key. It says, then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Yahshua of the host. Yahshua is the Son. His laws are in the sanctuary. And despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Let's do that again. Because they have cast away the law of the Yahweh. Now we're saying that this law, the Lord of hosts, is always referring to the Son. But you know, that is not always the case. The host of heaven is the stars. Yahweh created the host of heaven. And it says right here, because they have cast away the law of the Yahweh of the host, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. It says, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, which is Yahshua, the Son, is the Holy One of Israel. So we're talking about the Father of the Lord of hosts. We're talking about the Son as the Holy One of Israel here. That's what they're talking about. Talking about the Father and the Son together. Therefore is the anger of the Yahweh kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign unto the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary, nor stumble among them. None shall slumber, nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. The horse's hoof shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions, yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe. And none shall deliver it, and in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now will I sing unto my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. All right, now this, today, this is a latter-day prophecy, so this has to be talking about the vineyard of the Yahshua of hosts here in verse 5. And now, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and I will, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Okay, that's in verse 5. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the cloud that they rain, and no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Yahshua the host is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Now this is a prophecy unto the spiritual Israel of today, which is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, collectively with the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, her, what the Adventists call her offshoot, daughters, Davidia. But their upshoot branches of the Adventist Church, the daughters of Israel, which is your shepherd rod, which are Davidians, and then your branch Davidians, Gilead Center that I was with for 33 years, from 1970 to 2003. So anyway, it goes on to say here, in verse 3 of Isaiah 5, it says, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard." Okay. Now, this vineyard was set up, and here's your key right here in 1844. It says, "I will sing unto my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard." So in other words, Adventist Church, they have a vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. So the Adventist Church is his well-beloved. And it said that my well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. What was that vineyard? What was that hill? Well, you can find out that it was the hill of Bashan. And you'll find that in Psalms, 68. It was the hill of Bashan. It says there in about verse 13, 14 of Psalm 68. It says, "Though you have lain among the pots, you shall be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold." Okay, it says, "When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon." The hill of Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan. So, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. So, why leap ye high hill? This is here which Yahweh desires to dwell in, yet he will dwell in it forever. Okay, so now, when he says the hill of Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan, so that hill of Yahweh is Mount Zion at the 12th hour. This is the hill of Yahweh today. But it says that it's as the hill of Bashan. In other words, she's teaching the same doctrine that the hill of Bashan was teaching. So when it says in Isaiah 5, it says, when I, verse 1, now will I sing unto my well-beloved a song of my beloved, loved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. That fruitful hill was Bashan. But Yahweh says, I also have a hill, and that's called Mount Zion. So when you look real closely at this, you're talking about my beloved. So he hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. Okay, so that fruitful hill was Bashan. That's Adventurous that they started out in. Well, you could very well apply this prophecy then to the shepherd rod in 1930. And Yahweh's beloved in 1930 was V.T. Hollis. And V.T. Hollis was given the message of the shepherd rod, Micah 6:9, hear ye the rod and who hath appointed. And that was an order given to the Adventist church, hear the rod. And they were ordered in 1930 to hear the rod. And that fruitful hill of Bashan, they had dried up, and so Yahweh says, now hear the rod from this fruitful hill of Carmel. Now this is where I moved on. So my well-beloved is Leti Hardif, and he has a vineyard here in the hill of Carmel. Okay, and so now whenever that vineyard dried up and was finished, Yahweh says to Vertus W. Johnson that he put in charge of Mount Gilead. That was a hill. He said, now my beloved, he hath a vineyard. He hath a vineyard also, and a very fruitful hill. So Vertus Johnson, he had the fruitful hill of Gilead, Mount Gilead. He said, my well-beloved hath a fruitful hill. So each one of these servants called to occupy these hills, these fruitful hills, was given a vineyard, not the vineyard, but a vineyard. But it says here, that my well-beloved hath a vineyard. It don't have the vineyard of the Yahshua of hosts. It has a vineyard that was appointed to that feeding pasture that he's put in charge of. And then he says in verse 7 then, he says, for the vineyard of the Yahshua of hosts. Now Yahshua, the son now, this is he's the Yahshua of hosts. He has a vineyard. And it's in the house of the Yahweh, it says right here. I added the preposition in to give you clarity of what it's talking about here. For the vineyard of the Yahshua, the host, is in the house of Israel. And where is the house of Israel? The house of Israel, for the fulfillment of this prophecy, is the house of David. Okay. So the vineyard of the Yahshua, the host, is in the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, and but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. So, actually these vineyards, all three of these vineyards, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, they belong to Yahweh. But he put his steward, he put his foreman over his vineyard. In other words, his watchman, his servant, that he servant of the hour that he called to occupy the overseer of his vineyard, he said, It's his vineyard. It is a vineyard for him. Okay. So he says that in verse 8, there says of Isaiah 5, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." "In mine ears, saith Yahshua the host," or the Yahweh of the host, I'm talking about the Father now, "of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitants. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the vial and the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feet, but they regard not the work of the Yahweh, and neither consider the operation of his hand. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." Okay, so my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and let's read, start with verse 1. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Yahweh. Mine horn is exalted in the Yahweh. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Yahweh, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our Elohim. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Yahweh is a Yahweh of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." So he weighs our actions by the knowledge of Yahweh. He puts his word out there. It's complete. He expects those that wants eternal life, salvation, he expects them then to take a hold of his word and learn of him. So we need to, what it says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Yahshua." So if we let the mind of Yahweh be in us, then it says, "That take no more exceeding, talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Yahweh is a Yahweh of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Okay. So now, that is very good admonition. Let's look at another Bible scripture that has the word knowledge in it. Let's go to 1 Kings 9, and it says, verse 27, "And Hiram sent in the navy his servants' shipment. They had knowledge of the sea with the servants of Solomon." Now here's Solomon needing to have shipment of material down the Mediterranean. He had to have shipment sent to Jerusalem so he could build a temple. And he hired this here Hiram out of the north there. And Hiram sent in the navy his servant's shipment that had knowledge of the sea. So he had to have knowledge of the sea in order to be able to bring that material down the river, so to speak, down the ocean. coastline there and bring that material. And it says in 2 Chronicles 1:10, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? So Yahweh has called me and tested me to see if I'm going to be able to obtain this knowledge that Solomon had. Because indeed, I'm going to have the knowledge, every bit of what Solomon had, to navigate this ship through these murky waters in these last days that we are navigating through now. So, let's go to 2 Chronicles and let's read, start with verse 1. It says, and Solomon the son of David was strengthening his kingdom, and the Yahweh his Elohim was with him, and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of a hundred, and to the judges, and unto every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went unto the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of the Yahweh, which Moses, the servant of the Yahweh, hath made in the wilderness. Okay, so now here Solomon had to go to Gibeon to obtain the tabernacle. The ark. Go to where the tabernacle of the congregation of Yahweh was, which to Moses, the servant of Yahweh, had made in the wilderness. Now this is interesting. This is, Moses made this tabernacle 500 years earlier. And here it is, Solomon, about 500 years later, he's going to go up where that tabernacle is at. So that tabernacle was made of lasting material. They've been on the scene 500 years right there. But the Ark of Yahweh had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of Yahweh. And Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Yahweh which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Verse 7, and that night did Elohim appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto Yahweh, thou hast showed great mercy unto the David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Yahweh, Elohim, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? So Solomon realized how inept he was. He realized that he was very limited in his own ability, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. He knew that he was limited. But if he had Yahweh's direction 100%, he had the mind of Yahweh put in him, and Yahweh would give him the gifts that he needs, that is needed to be able to fulfill his position as a ruler and judge in Israel over all of them. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And Yahweh said unto Solomon, because this is in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemy, neither yet hast asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. Now this is talking about in the Old Testament. This is when they had kings succeeding each other. But whenever the kingdoms came to an end, it is also this prophecy came to an end. But when this tabernacle of David is raised up again, which we are raising up here in these last days, then Yahweh is going to renew his covenant with the house of David, and he's going to renew that same covenant that he made with Solomon. He's going to give all wisdom and understanding and all of this to his servant that is to be brought forth to sit upon this throne of David again. So it says in 2 Chronicles 1:13, then Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was at Gibeon to Jerusalem, from before the tabernacle of the congregation, and reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in the chariot cities, and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Now let's read that 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 15 again. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Now sycamore tree translates into the fig tree. That's another name for the fig tree. And sycamore occurs seven times in the KJV. And it's very important that we understand this. 2 Chronicles 1:16, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. 2 Chronicles 1:17, and they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so they brought, they out horses for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria by their means. Okay, that is a very interesting. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 18. And Huram sent him by the hands of his servants ships and servants that had knowledge of the sea, and they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and took thence 450 talents of gold and brought them to King Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verse 22. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Yahweh, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, and make a confession to the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers. Nehemiah 10:28, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of the Yahweh, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Now let's read the whole chapter of Nehemiah chapter 10. We had that in our study the other day, I believe. But let's read the whole chapter. Actually, we're going to start with verse 1. And it says, let's just back up to the closing chapters of Nehemiah chapter 9 and lead into Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 9, it says, verse 35, "For they have not served thee in their kingdom and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them. Now that turn they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers, to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast sent, set over us because of our sin. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress." Well, that's the way it is today. The kingdoms of this world, the evil rulers of the nation, they have Yahweh's people in captivity. This is exactly what it was in Nehemiah's day. But the people had come to the end of their captivity of Judah, and they were ready to go back to be freed and go back to their Jerusalem. And so this is what Nehemiah was talking about. He said, "And it yielded much increase." He's talking about the land, and when the heathen kings that ruled over it, "unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sin. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress." Just like this nation of Texas. These kings that have been set over us, the rulers, they have taken not only the charge of our land, but they've taken charge of our, also they have dominion over our bodies. Wow. This is bad. "And over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress." All right, just look what happened here in the United States. The Muslims come in here. They got in power. They got a president that is a Muslim put in power as a president of the United States. And he allowed the Muslims he brought them in here by the millions. And they've been coming in by the thousands for the last 40 years. I know because I was affected by it with my business in the 1960s. I was affected by the Muslims coming into this country and taking over all businesses. They've taken over all slaughterhouses, packing houses of meat, of cattle. And that's what this scripture is talking about. They've taken dominion over our bodies and over our cattle. For the Muslims own all the slaughterhouses across America. And they pray there, they have an iman that's there to bless all the cattle that they slaughter. And whoever buys their meat at the meat counter and in the grocery store, wherever they live, that meat has been blessed by a Muslim iman. And so when the white man buys that meat, he's buying meat from cattle that has been taken over by our enemy. That's not even a legal citizen of this country has come in and taken over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And they're writing news items all along that you can read every day about people are rising up and complain about we're going to have to do something about these here Muslims taking over our slaughterhouses and controlling our meat and controlling the people that buy it. Okay, so that's what Nehemiah is talking about. "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it." Now, they're having a revival reformation in Nehemiah's day. The house of Judah been freed from the Babylonian captivity in the north. They've gone back. They're going back to Jerusalem to retake and rebuild and go back to their to their capital city of Judah, going back to their homeland. And Nehemiah is helping them go back, and the king is of Persia, is, I believe it's Persia, is helping Nehemiah to go back and do this. So, it says here in chapter 10 of Nehemiah, after we read all these names of the people that went back, and the rest of the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, and the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of Yahweh, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren and their nobles and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in Elohim's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Yahweh, our Elohim, and his judgments and his statutes. Now, what's going to happen these last days when we get a righteous leader that's in power, put back in power again, and he has resurrected the law of Moses with all the statutes and judgments, and he's going to have a revival and reformation, and people are going to come up at the Feast of Tabernacles, at the Day of Atonement, to receive and hear this law again here in these last days. What's going to happen when all that happens? You're going to see a revival, and a revival and reformation like there's never been since the world has ever known. And when this happens, then you're going to have Joel chapter 2 take place. You're going to have Joel chapter 2 be taking place, and that's a prophecy for these last days. And we're going to read that Joel chapter 2. It says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahweh cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of grimness, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people sit in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness." That's what's happening right now with the closing out of down of our economy. Everybody's in disarray. Is in just the whole world is turned out of the way. "They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run up on the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter at their windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall not withdraw their shining. And the Yeshua shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Yeshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Yeshua, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto Yeshua your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Yahweh your Elohim. Blow the trumpet in Zion." Now, this is the hill of Yahweh. It says so in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. It says, "The mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and the mountain of the house of Yahweh is Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of David at the time that this mountain rises up and is declared the hill that Yahweh desires to dwell in. It says he's going to dwell in it forever once this hill is raised up. You will read that in Psalm 68, verse 14 and 15. You will read that. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the bread. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare not thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage a reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your Elohim? Then will Yahweh be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea, and his sting shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Now you see this fig tree right here? That's the same thing as a sycamore tree that is mentioned there, and seven other places of the scriptures. Now the fig tree occurs in 32 verses of the KJV, and that's very important. Fig tree interchanges with the sycamore tree, which is mentioned seven times in scripture. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahweh your Elohim, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Behold, before the great and the terrible day of the Yahweh come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, this is Mount Zion, house of David, Mount Zion in the 12th hour, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Yahweh has said, and in the remnant, and the Yahweh shall call. Now, this is so wonderful. These promises are so wonderful. Now, let's go. Let's continue on and read Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations. That's what he's doing right now. He's gathering all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And that's the land of Israel proper. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. This is what they're doing right here today. In India, the families are so many, millions of people in India, and they have so been so mistreated by their leaders that the mothers and fathers have to sell their young daughters. To either marry them off or let them go into prostitute houses, sell their bodies just to get enough money to buy food with. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tara and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant thing. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaean, to a people far off, for the Yahweh has spoken it. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of the war draw near. Let them come up. He says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hoofs into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Hither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Yahshua is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Says also he's going to do this. Also out of Zion. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yahweh will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. He's talking about the Yahshua, the Son. So shall you know that I am the Yahshua, your Savior, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of Yahweh, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahweh dwelleth in, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Zion. Now we're going to go back and read Joel chapter 1. The word of Yahweh that came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye, asking the question, tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the pomegranate hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. We're having this today. Donald Trump is leading a crusade in the world. It's called a new movement. This is your 10th and last movement for the world nations. And you're having the greatest shakeup of all time among the nations because of this. And he is dispensing new wine. It's a strange thing that this man, Donald Trump, owns a vineyard. Out of all of his other real estate holdings and everything, he ended up with a vineyard. This is really strange because it fits right in with prophecy here. He is furnishing new wine for the inhabitants of the world. Political. It's political knowledge of what he is showing to get back to the truth of what he called the rule of law, which is the Constitution that we have. He's saying, restore, restore, restore. Well, that's our subtitle for our sermon also, is Restore All Things. And that's what Donald Trump stands for, is restore everything back to its original that it started out with over 240 years ago. He said, awake ye drunkards, and weep and howl all you drinkers of wine because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. So it says, awake you drunkards. That's drunk on this here new world order, this here this globalist agenda that they're trying to force everybody into to take the mark of the beast with this new world order. That's the old wine. The new wine is cut off from their mouth. They don't understand it. They are in consternation. They're doing everything they can to discredit and destroy this new movement that Donald Trump is heading up, and destroy him and everybody that is back of him. But he's got heaven behind him. This is the thing. They can't destroy heaven, and all of Yahweh and the Son and all the angels are behind Donald Trump. So they're not going to prevail. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. Here's that fig tree again. That's mentioned 32 times in Scripture. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. So there you have it. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Yahweh. Their priests, the Yeshua's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. This vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. This is the house. The fig tree represents the house of Israel, okay? And so the house of Israel languishes. That means the Adventist church languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in the sackcloth, ye ministers of my Elohim, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your Elohim. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahweh Elohim, and cry unto the Yahweh. Alas, for the day of Yahweh is at hand, and as the destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our Elohim. The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate, O Yahweh. Unto thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. For the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of the waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. And our last sojourn for the house of Israel, was in the house of Gilead, Mount Gilead, Kermit, Texas, and we were led out of that wilderness in 2003. We were brought to the hill countries, the flourishing hill countries of Judea, where out of the rock springs water, living spring water comes up down here, and we have rocks and hills and valleys, and we have lakes and rivers and mountains. We have it all right here in the heart of Texas. This brings a close. Let's say this is our contact. This is the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We'll close now with a song. Because he is.
We all sing his song. They call him Yahshua. He can't be lost. He knows how he is. He is their song. If I'm not part of heaven and truth, maybe there could be a good day. Oh, yeah.